I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
It's pretty obvious to everyone, while they're doing this to President Trump, Alvin Bragg's not prosecuting the bad guys in that city who are doing so much harm to residents there in Manhattan, not prosecuting the real criminals, instead being political, going after President Trump. But Sean, this started 8 years ago. They spied on his campaign. Then it was Robert Mueller. Then it was impeachment. Then they raided his home. Then it's the special counsel, Jack Smith, who indicts him in Florida and D.C. Then it's Fannie Willis in Atlanta. Then it's Alvin Bragg. Then they tried the 14th Amendment. Now they're trying in this trial a gag order and not telling who they're going to bring as witnesses. That's how much they're out to get this guy. But he's going to win because the people see through it.
I would think the people see through it. That is Ohio Congressman Jim Jordan talking about the Trump trial in Manhattan. Again, his attorneys wanted a change of venue, saying we're not going to get a fair, impartial jury in Manhattan. In Manhattan, the Manhattan District, which is overseen by the district attorney, Alvin Bragg, you've got Trump may have gotten as much as 12% of the vote. Right? And that could be high. So that means 80%+ in that area are against Trump to begin with. And yet many of them during the voir dire, when they're questioned by the judge at various questions, trying to find out if they have any prejudicial things that would keep them from serving, each lawyer got a certain number of strikes, and the judge could simply excuse some for whatever reasons. But one of the questions was, not directly, did you really think you could come in here and lie to me, but it's very apparent. He wanted to know, what kind of media do you watch? Who do you listen to? Who do you get your information? Right there it tells you. If one of them on there, because you can hear us up in New York on the app, if they say, well, I listen to Larry Connors USA every night, Monday through Friday, they say, well, you're not going to be on my jury. The judge has that ability, and so would the prosecutor, to strike me or strike that juror immediately because they know that this is a conservative, yet independent, and mostly patriotic program more than anything else. But the trial continues. And, of course, the first witness was Pecker, who used to run the National Enquirer. And I didn't make up his name. That's his name. He, kind of like Anthony Weiner, gets caught in some kind of story that you think, really? And he's talking about the money and the involvement of Stormy Daniels, the hush money, porn star. Has it been made very clear that this was all looked at long ago, and no one wanted to touch it? Jim Jordan had even pointed out the Department of Justice didn't want it. No one else wanted it, not even the Manhattan District Attorney. The only time they decided we're going to make a case out of this and bring criminal charges is because Donald Trump is announcing he's going to run for the White House again, and we cannot let the man do that. You're talking about election interference. It is right there in your face. It is as clear as the FBI regarding the Hunter Biden laptop, keeping it quiet, under covers, and then the New York Post got hold of it, and the FBI started sending its minions out to tell the various state-controlled media operations, you don't want to run this story. There's no such laptop. Doesn't exist. It's all Russian propaganda. And that was right before the election between Biden and Trump. And 18 months after the election, the New York Times has to print a full article talking about, that laptop thing, that was real. It was real. No apology. It's just, we now have verified it's real. You could have done it then, but you didn't. And neither did the rest of the state-controlled media and all the big tech operations. Because they knew if it were made real prior to the election, it might cost Joe Biden the votes he needed. There were those who said, if I'd only known, I would not have voted for him. Now, that's what they say, so we don't know, do we? But to me, that's still election interference. There are a lot of ways you can interfere with the election. You don't have to change a single vote. You don't have to gather up illegal votes. You don't have to have illegals cast votes. You simply say, the polls close at 5. This is the last day you can vote. I'll pick you up at 4:30. Be waiting for me. And you know that these people you're picking up are going to vote for a candidate you don't want. You just don't show up. So they're not in line when the polls close. They don't get to vote. Glad to have you on board again. This is Larry Connors, USA, April 24. This is the second of 2 hours back-to-back for you. We're here Monday through Friday. And glad to have you listening. And reminding you, when you're listening, 6 to 8 p.m. Monday through Friday, we are putting up a live stream. We're putting up a video of the program so you can watch. You can watch the program. You go to Larry Connors USA Rumble, Facebook or Twitter, or News Talk STL Rumble, Facebook, Twitter. And if you miss anything, you go to LarryConnorsUSA.com, LarryConnorsUSA Facebook, and you can pull it up and watch it at your pleasure. And when you do, share it with others. Multiply it over and over so they in turn share. I do want to remind you, Thursday I will be speaking to the Show Me Patriots at GOP headquarters in Fenton. That's 794 Gravois Bluffs. The whole event starts at 6. I'll be there as soon as I can, so I look forward to seeing you, and we can have an exchange of ideas or just a greeting. Show Me Patriots in the GOP headquarters this Thursday. Now, while Trump is fighting, of course, in the court, he can't be out on the campaign trail, and some are saying, well, he doesn't need to be there anyway. You know, on one hand, that's true, because he's getting a lot of free publicity every day. But the one thing that's not going to happen, Biden is not going to agree to debate Trump. No way possible, because he knows he could not stand up to it. But as Jordan mentioned, Jim Jordan, while the prosecutor of Manhattan is going after Trump, they're ignoring all the other crimes that truly affect the American citizens. I want you to hear from Stephen Miller. He's former senior advisor to Trump, and he describes not just what's happening in Manhattan, but across the face of our nation.
Unleashed the hellish nightmare we are seeing now in the Middle East. But let's talk about what else Joe Biden is doing. As pro-Hamas radicals in the Democrat Party are terrorizing Jews, terrorizing Americans, terrorizing students, is Joe Biden using the Department of Justice to go after them for their riotous behavior, for violating the civil rights of their fellow Americans? Is he going after the universities for using your taxpayer dollars? No. Joe Biden, the Democrat Party, New York State Democrats, and Democrat authorities are using all of their collective might to persecute one man, and his name is Donald Trump. Every resource is being directed not to protect Jews, not to protect students, not to protect Americans, not to fight crime, be it at the university campus, in the subway, on the streets, or at the border. They are using their resources to try to put one man behind bars, the ultimate election interference. This president is a lawless offense to democracy and civilization. Everything coming out of this White House is destroying the very fabric of this country, and our democracy, because of Joe Biden, is indeed in grave peril.
Again, that's Stephen Miller, and he's echoing everything I said. And Joe Biden, I did not bother pulling the bite up for you. It got shared by Ken Williams, the Thunder Stealer, for the producer for Vic Percelli show, about Biden saying, how many times do we have to have Trump prove that we can't be trusted? Prove that we can't be trusted. Little slip of the tongue, or maybe, yep, he knows the truth comes right across his lips occasionally. He didn't want it. But then, of course, in addition to the common crime, and when I say common crime, I don't mean to dismiss it, but we also have all of these terrorists pouring in under our illegal activities granted open border by Joe Biden, Donald Trump.
We have to get the vote out. We have to show support because we are right now confronted with the worst president in the history of our country. There's nobody been so bad with the open borders. Millions of people are coming into our country from prisons and jails, from mental institutions, from insane asylums. They're being emptied out all over the world, and terrorists are pouring into our country. Drug dealers are pouring into our country. There's never been anything like it at levels that no country has ever seen, not just us. No country has ever seen. And if you look back 4 years ago, three and a half, but 4 years ago, we had the safest border, the best border. I built 571 miles of wall. We're ready to install another 200, which is much more than I said I was going to do. And we had the safest border in history. Now we have the worst border in the history of the world.
And there's no doubt about that. And then we got these crazies on these college campuses at these poison Ivy League schools who think that they know better than the rest of the world. And they, in fact, are sympathetic and praising Hamas and what it did to Israel. But here's one of the latest reports out of CBS News Boston.
Right now, dozens of students at two local colleges are camping out to protest the war in Gaza. Students at MIT and Emerson tell us that their tent encampments are designed to show solidarity with the protest at Columbia University in New York. Now, police arrested more than 100 demonstrators there. Emerson sent us a statement saying, in part, the college strongly supports the right to express one's beliefs through protest, but will not tolerate actions threatening safety, operations, or educational access. Patriots owner Robert Kraft, who is an alum of Columbia University, is calling on the school to end the protests. In a statement, Kraft said he no longer recognizes the institution that welcomed him and went on to say, I am no longer confident that Columbia can protect its students and staff, and I am not comfortable supporting the university until corrective action is taken.
In other words, I'm pulling all the millions of dollars I've been donating to you. Harvard Law Professor Emeritus Alan Dershowitz says all these rallies, the hate, they're escalating and they're being accepted and encouraged with inside the woke, and that's where it all started.
The core problem is DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion, intersectionality. These dominate universities today, and they're the sources of anti-Semitism. Let me tell you a story about one professor. His name is Joseph Massad. He is the one who praised Hamas on October 7th and said what they did was a wonderful thing. He is pro-Hamas. I opposed his tenure before he got tenure. I told the university that he was a third-rate academic. He had called on a Jewish student as a teacher. And when the student said and started talking, Joseph Massad, the professor, said, you seem to have an Israeli accent. Are you Israeli? He said, yes. He said, can't speak in my class unless you're prepared to say that Israel has committed war crimes. This is a professor. He hadn't gotten tenure yet. And Columbia University gave him tenure, not despite his being anti-Israel, but precisely because of it. Mm. They wanted anti-Israel professors on the faculty because they were getting funding from anti-Israel countries.
What better way to get more money from anti-Israeli companies and countries than to actually put a professor in a tenured position at your university? It means he's basically untouchable, cannot be removed, there for life. Well, they're certainly going to start funneling more money in simply because he's there. Dershowitz says there is so much at stake here that people are not recognizing.
This goes back years and years and years. And until and unless universities like Harvard and Columbia get rid of, uproot, completely from top to bottom, the DEI bureaucracy and the intersectionality bureaucracy, this will continue and it will destroy every major university in America and turn American universities into the same third-rate institutions that Professor Joseph Massad is as a third-rate scholar.
So is that what you want? That's what we have. That's what we have in many cases. If we don't have scholars teaching our students, we have propagandists. And that's what they're getting. And they're getting at every grade level now. Yes, it started at the poison Ivy League schools. But then a lot of schools and universities wanted to have the same kind of standing, so they thought, we'll join the crowd too. Let's bring some of those professors here. They bring their baggage, and they bring like minds to, again, infiltrate the students' minds. And Dershowitz said, these kids in the streets rallying on the campuses, they do not know what they're supporting.
What we see on television today is the tip of the iceberg. But don't call these people pro-Palestinian. They are anti-Palestinian. They're pro-Hamas. Mm. Hamas has been destroying the Palestinian cause. They hang gays. They murder dissidents. They discriminate against women. They cause the death of all these people by using human shields. So these pro-Hamas people are not pro-Palestinian. They're anti-Jewish, they're anti-Palestinian, and they're anti-decency.
Anti-decency is another great point. But let's just go down some of the list. And I'd mentioned in the earlier hour, and I want to repeat it again. There is something circulating on one of my social media pages. Maybe you've seen it. It shows a bunch of these young students at Columbia University, I assume, maybe Emerson, holding up a sign, a large sign, and it's written on there, basically, homosexuals and lesbians for the PLO. Was Dershowitz said, it's not the PLO, it's really Hamas. And in fact, if they were in one of those countries controlled by the PLO or Hamas, they would not dare hold up a sign saying we're homosexual or lesbian because they would be executed on the spot. And these people don't understand that. They can't even tell you when they shout from the river to the sea, what river are you discussing? What is the river? Where is it? They don't know. They don't know. All they're doing is mocking, mimicking. You know, there's a bird called the mockingbird, and it's called that because it can come up with about 30 to 60 different sounds of other birds. If you've ever watched one in a tree, it can sing and sing and sing. It'll sound like a different bird every time. These students are simply echoing what they've been given, and they don't even know the basic understanding, and they don't bother to investigate and find out. And Alan Dershowitz said it comes down to the fact of who is or is not leading our Poison Ivy universities and others.
A friend of mine who was the president of a major college said to me, the one criteria that doesn't exist for being the president of a university or a member of the board is courage. These folks have no courage, no guts. They want everybody to love them, and they can't do that. This is a time for making hard, hard decisions, and universities are not good at making those kinds of decisions. So what we're going to see today and tomorrow is universities being responsive to Congresswoman Stefanik, who's done a great job in exposing this, and they'll do one or two things. But the deep problem of continuing to have a bureaucracy, which is against equality, in favor of equity, which is the opposite of equality, you judge people based on their ethnicity and based on their race and religion, they won't do anything to dismantle the real problems here and to stop hiring people because of their hatred of Israel.
And it is a hatred. It is a hatred. Coming up, my guest is going to address the new Title IX rule, the rule that is upsetting and angering liberals and conservatives at the same time. That's either very good or very bad. We'll get details when we continue. Please stand by.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Question, do you know what vermiculite is? It is an insulation in the attics of hundreds of thousands of homes and public buildings. Looks like kitty litter, but often contains asbestos. Wellington Environmental is the largest company in the Midwest that can remove that hazard for you. Wellington has what is called the General, a powerful industrial vacuum that can suck vermiculite out of the attic. Hang on, there's something else you should know. Many of you might qualify for up to a $4,000 rebate. You should at least contact Wellington to see if you qualify. And here's something else. Wellington arrives at the time they give you, not sometime within 4 hours. 314-644-4930. 1-800-644-4930. WellingtonSTL.com. WellingtonSTL.com. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner. Better. Safer. Be well with Wellington.
Talk radio made in St. Louis.
Very excited what you guys are doing for the St. Louis community.
For St. Louis.
Relevant local talk.
Saying what we are thinking.
This is News Talk STL.
No, you guys are awesome. I love you. And it really, it's a tremendous honor to be on the station.
News, analysis, and opinion.
Thanks for us covering the local angle.
Come on, people. This is America.
We better open our eyes.
Really local?
Really good.
News Talk STL at 1019-941
and NewsTalkSTL.com.
I have a personal story about why I trust McGuire Moving and Storage. A relative needed to escape an unhealthy relationship. Josh, Christine, and the McGuire team were understanding, even comforting. That's why I'm honored to endorse McGuire. Since 1935, McGuire's been moving and caring for families. So, moving a home, office, local, or long distance, McGuireMoving.com. McGuireMoving.com.
Hey, St. Louis, my name is Rob Carter. My new primetime show will explore the collaboration between corrupt media and our corrupted political system. From manipulated elections, open borders, mandated medicines, and unconstitutional lockdowns, what is going on? The Rob Carter Show. Let's talk about it on The Rob Carter Show. Join me weeknights from 8 to 10 p.m. on News Talk STL.
Rob Carter, live and local, weeknights at 8 on News Talk STL. This is News Talk STL. This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. As I mentioned, the new Title IX rule is released by the Department of Education. The 19th of this month is kind of a regulation that, one, if allowed to stand, the effects of the controversial rule will be numerous, long-lasting, and severe in the view of many. Most profoundly, it changes the definition of sex to include gender identity that would allow biological males to freely participate in women's sports. Number two, that it would turn over the rule's harmful effects on campus due process, allowing these students to be found guilty of assaulting a classmate without ever seeing the full evidence. I mean, it just goes on, and it's conservative-leaning organizations are condemning it, the Heritage Foundation and others. You also have some liberal groups, Gay Against Groomers. They're upset with it because they say it's a dystopian nightmare masquerading as progress. My God, how are you to make any sense of it? Well, here to help us understand is Edward Bartlett, founder of SAVE, an organization focusing on fairness and due process on college campuses. Edward, glad to have you with us.
Yeah, hi, Larry. So, yeah, it's hard to find words that adequately describe this new monstrosity that's been dumped on our plates last Friday by the Department of Education. So we'll just stick with the word monstrosity, but just yeah. So we understand what's going on here. So for 3 years, the Biden administration has been telling us that they plan to change the definition of sex to include gender identity. Okay. So that nightmare actually occurred last Friday, April the 19th. And so this new Title IX regulation, it defies science. It defies a recent Supreme Court decision. It defies literally dozens of state laws. And it's so bad that literally within less than 1 week, two groups have already gone on record to say they are going to file a lawsuit, Independent Women's Forum and the Alliance Defending Freedom, and many more lawsuits are expected. So, yeah, this is a monstrosity.
Well, to that extent, I mentioned the Heritage Foundation, Defense of Freedom also, National Association of scholars are all against the way this comes down because they're conservative. But then on the liberal side, since we said it's also upsetting them, gays against groomers are stating by replacing sex with gender identity, all prior protections put in place would be wiped out. It's a nightmare. Nobody likes anything about this. How did it ever come out of the Biden White House with knowing the people they've got inside working on it?
Well, I guess all I can answer that question is with two words, Karl Marx.
Yeah.
Karl Marx, of course, he was not interested not only in removing differences of economics or, you know, economic disparities. He wanted to eliminate all differences, all social differences, including differences of biological sex. And think about it, what better way to do that than to simply declare, oh, well, it turns out there's 52 different genders, and, you know, any day of the week, you can take your pick.
I want to take everyone that says that. I want to put them on a farm for a year. And at the end of the year, can they tell me the difference between a male and a female and the difference between a bull and a cow? And are you going to try to milk the bull? They'll soon realize, no, they're only two as created by God.
Well, and here's even, to make it even more hilarious and bizarre, I just heard earlier today that in the state of Utah, that they now have this fad among middle school girls called being a furry. Being a furry means you think you're a cat, you act like a cat, you mew like a cat. Again, this is really happening in the United States.
Well, I do know that is happening at a private school in the St. Louis area, and they have one bathroom that has a door on it, and it's labeled for transgenders. The men, the boys and girls bathrooms are open door, in part to protect them from anyone being assaulted. You know, you have to turn and go around a corner to see anything anyway, but there are no doors like you find at restaurants in many places or casinos, but only one door does exist, and it's for the transgender bathroom. Apparently it's only one toilet and everything else there, but then this one child student is already making that claim she's a cat, and they have put a litter box in there, I'm told. Somebody has to clean the litter box from time to time. This is a private school. What parent wants to spend money for a private school and have that kind of crap going on?
Well, anybody who says that this is all about tolerance and inclusivity and et cetera, they're just telling you a straight out lie. And I'll tell you a recent example that I heard just several days ago. I live in Maryland, and this happened in a high school in Maryland, where one of the male students, he did not know that a fellow student had decided to change his gender, did not know that he had a new name, right? So this innocent student, innocently just called him by his real name, right?
Yeah.
Well, this transgender responded literally by punching him in the face, right? So the innocent student responded by punching him back, which is not a totally unexpected response.
Sure.
Well, guess who was hit with the restraining order?
Mm-hmm.
The puncher or the punchee, right?
Yeah, the second one, obviously.
So, you know, if this is about fairness, it would be the guy who initiated, threw the first punch who would be in trouble, but no. It was the guy who didn't even know that guy had changed his name to something transgender. So
they did not realize he was striking maybe, quote, a girl. He was striking another boy. Otherwise, he might not have done that.
Well, but, it just shows how it confuses, when you mess up the English language, you're confusing everything about, normal human interaction.
Yeah.
And the ramifications are far reaching. It's not just gender pronouns. It's not just women's sports. We are striking against the core of parental rights and the family because, schools often do not tell the parents, Johnny or Susie has decided to change their gender.
Right.
That's kept secret from the parents.
Right.
Well, that strikes a blow at the role and the importance of parenthood.
Your analogy about the boy striking another a boy who claimed now to be a girl striking a boy and the other boy retaliating. It reminds me of John Madden when he was calling football games. He always said the second guy is going to get the penalty. The first guy gets the hit in cheap, but then the refs see the second hit, and that's the guy who's going to get the penalty. Now, the other thing about your organization, SAVE, your mission is to assure that every student and faculty member get constitutional protections of fairness and due process, focusing a lot, obviously, on sexual harassment, things of that nature. Your take on the anti-Semitic rallies that are escalating and being probably encouraged by faculty at Poison Ivy League schools across the nation?
Yeah, and of course, that's outside of the realm of Title IX. Title IX is the law to end sex discrimination.
Right.
But it goes back to the same radical ideology fomented by Karl Marx. So Karl Marx, of course, was all about dividing society into oppressors and the oppressed. So in the male-female context, males are, of course, designated to be the patriarchal oppressors. In the Israeli context, Israel has been pigeonholed as the colonizers. Now, I'm not going to even get into the history of that. It's so utterly ridiculous. But Israel is now under the Marxist scheme, are viewed as the oppressors and the Palestinians as the oppressed. Doesn't matter that on October the 7th that they attacked and killed over 1,400 Israelis.
But some of the students at the rally say, well, that's what we've been told and reported, but like we don't believe it. And they can't identify from the river to sea what river they're talking about. And some of them are homosexuals and they're lesbians. They're holding up signs saying homosexuals and lesbians for Hamas and Palestinians, which in those countries, they would be beheaded.
Yeah, well, there's nothing logical about all of this stuff. But I think the point I really want to drive home here, Larry, is Marxist ideology has become far more rampant and permeates more of American society than most people realize. We really need to wake up, stand up, and speak out. This has to be stopped.
And what happens in the last 30 seconds if we don't?
And, well, I'm not even going to go there, Larry, because in every society where Marxist ideology has taken over, has been a absolute human rights disaster, economic disaster, social disaster, and that is what we are staring in the face in the United States, I believe.
I agree. We're on the abyss. Ed Bartlett, founder of SAVE. You check it out, an organization focusing on fairness, due process on college campuses, primarily reference sexual issues. Thank you very much, Ed, for your time. We'll do it again.
All right, we'll do it.
You bet. Coming up, the Supreme Court taking up an Idaho abortion case. And Amy Coney Barrett, some are trying to mock her, or what are they doing? Stand by, please.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
John Beale knows that new roofing companies can look big and trustworthy on the internet, but the fact is 96% of new roofing companies go out of business within the first 5 years. John Beale has a reputation for excellence, reliability, plus lowest cost, best roof, best guarantee. Those here today, gone tomorrow roofers, they can't match John Beale. For home or business, trust my friend John. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perished in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
If you like premium cigars and spirits, take my advice. Check out Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield. The Lit Cigar owners just got back from a major convention in Vegas, and now every day, Lit is getting shipments of special cigars that will certainly amaze you. Check the Lit Cigar Facebook, staying on top of special events. Also, Lit can host a private event for you, your friends, your business. LitSTL.com. LitSTL.com. Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield.
This is News Talk STL.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
So there's a statement in an MSNBC report that if Amy Coney Barrett means it when she says the Supreme Court is not a partisan operation, then here's her chance to prove it. What are they talking about? Well, one, the abortion case, which you're hearing today, and then what is scheduled for tomorrow? What is on the court's docket for tomorrow? Tomorrow, they will be hearing the case regarding Donald Trump's claim that he's immune from prosecution for actions while president January 6, 2021, and in the weeks leading up to it. And according to the MSNBC writing, by deciding even to hear Trump's preposterous, as they say, assertion, right there, using that word, what they stated before that is accurate and factual. But the moment they add preposterous, they put an adjective in like that, that slants it immediately. If you are not smart enough to realize that, shame on you, and I'll be glad to help you, though, as we move forward. I'm not going to call you out for being ignorant if you haven't been trained in it, but if you're aware that those kinds of words, if you use words like that, you can tell there's already a slant to the article. I'll continue, though. Talking about in the weeks leading up to January 6, 2021. By deciding even to hear Trump's preposterous assertion that he's above the law, I don't think he actually said that, but that's the way they're going to word it. The court signaled it would bend over backward to accommodate Trump and thus his reelection. The judges reinforced that message by scheduling the hearing on the last day for arguments this term. That would, again, be tomorrow. That part is factual. It's going to be the last day of the term, and it is scheduled for that day, but they're claiming that's why they did it. It goes on to say voters have a right to know before the election what a jury decides about someone indicted for trying to overturn the lawful transition of power. That's assuming he did. That's the whole case, first of all. The lawful transition of power 4 years ago and is asking citizens to make him president again. By delaying this case, the court cast further doubt on its crumbling legitimacy. Any hopes for recovering its reputation now rest entirely on a speedy ruling that allows the case to go to trial sooner rather than later. In other words, before November. Trump is declaring immunity for any official act committed while in office. And they say that fails the laugh test. One district judge reviewing the case said, presidents are not kings. I'm agreeing with that. But first of all, they're making a lot of assumptions, that they don't have a basis in fact for. But hey, a whiff of smoke here, a whiff of smoke there. Someone's burning something somewhere. There's got to be a flame somewhere. And since we don't like Trump, it's got to be coming from his mane of hair or something of that nature. Got to be. All right, then the issue of abortion, which is, we will, of course, tomorrow kind of watch and see what happens with the court hearing the case tomorrow, but I would not expect a ruling at the end of the day. That's just not likely. They will probably issue the ruling sooner than they normally would. But the other case that's in front of them today, the Biden administration challenging Idaho's abortion ban. The U.S. Solicitor General, on behalf of the Biden administration, putting forward arguments trying to appeal to the conservative justices who just 2 years ago did rule that the states have the right to make the decision. And according to the Hill publication, as they're watching this case unfold, or as they were watching it earlier today, unfold in front of the Supreme Court justices, the way the Hill wrote it, headline, female Supreme Court justices push back most strongly on the Idaho abortion ban. The four female justices, including conservative Amy Coney Barrett, pushing back the hardest against Idaho's assertion that its law, which prohibits doctors from performing an abortion except when a woman's life is in danger, supersedes the federal emergency care statute that's in place. And they point out that a divided Supreme Court seems skeptical that Idaho's strict abortion ban conflicts with that federal emergency care, but there seems to be a split by gender as well as ideology based on the 2 hours of arguments they've had. Now, under the Idaho law, doctors could face up to 5 years in prison for violating the law. The Hill points out the liberal justices in particular asked detailed questions about what constitutes a medical emergency, zeroing in on complications that would rob a woman of her reproductive organs or put her at risk of sepsis, blood poisoning. The case centers on a federal law known as EMTALA, the Emergency Medical Treatment Active Labor Act, which requires federally funded hospitals to provide stabilizing care to emergency room patients no matter their ability to pay, which I think most of us should be in favor of. Even if you can't pay, you're in an emergency, you need treatment, you should be able to get it. But now they kind of try to roll in abortion into this. The Biden administration arguing that even in states where abortion is banned, the MTLA says hospitals must be allowed to terminate pregnancies in rare emergencies, they even admit rare, where a patient's life or health is at serious risk. Now, I've had representatives of pro-life groups on, and they say that is a bunch of baloney. There is no such case where a woman's life is ever under threat by delivering the baby. I'm going to have to dispute that. Now, maybe today it's not as much, but we do know that a lot of women died in the past century and before giving birth. We do know that. But that could be traced to what medical care was available then anyway, and we certainly have come a long ways. I mean, we've come where if you give birth to a preemie that's not any bigger than a soda can, that they can keep that child going, and the child may well grow up to be a very healthy adult. So modern medicine has changed a lot of that. But Amy Barrett, they're pointing out, had sharp questions for the Idaho Attorney General over just how much discretion doctors really have to make decisions or medical emergencies that may not be life-threatening. And the Idaho attorney argued the law allows decisions to be made on a case-by-case basis. Barrett, critical of that argument, basically accused the prosecutor from Idaho of, her words, of hedging. So they're pointing out that her questioning does not always give an indication of how she'll vote, but she and the three liberal justices need at least two conservatives, not she, but the three liberal justices need at least two conservatives to side with them for the Biden administration to win the case. Of course, this is where the Democrats come rushing forward and saying, we need more justices on the court because right now we're outnumbered by conservatives. You're outnumbered by justices who look at the Constitution as not just a piece of paper that you wave around when you need it, but you live by it, and our nation abides by it. And you don't try to use it to create change. You use it to see if anything is being changed adversely to the Constitution. It may, in fact, lead to some changes, but that's an advocacy approach as opposed to constitutionalist? What does it say? What was intended? Now, trying to guess and understand what was meant by our founding fathers in it, that's not always easy. And that's where you have the disagreements. But the left would be absolutely happy if they had a majority on the current 9-member court. And Justice Roberts being one of the ones appointed that we thought might actually be good for the court and the nation, voted in favor of the Obamacare Act. Do you remember that? I certainly do. For many of us, we thought, how can he come up with that? He knows taxation of any type, appropriations, comes through the House, not through the presidential decree to create Obamacare. So you can't always tell by the questions being raised by the court as to exactly how they're going to decide. Now let me turn to another subject. This goes back to the anti-Semitic rallies that are happening across the nation, often encouraged and certainly allowed by administration officials, although now they're acting like, no, we're trying our best to shut it down. Right. They did expel Ilhan Omar's daughter from Columbia, saying she was organizing one of them, and she had organized this tent city at Columbia, and they didn't want it, and so she's out. She's out. She cannot get back in. But they also denied a professor who's Jewish to even get admittance to the school the other day. And now the latest word from Columbia is that the students will now, at this point, they will be learning a hybrid approach of education. It's again back to maybe we'll learn by a chance to watch you on Zoom or something, or maybe we won't. This is what you paid your kids to go to college for, right? And you're spending all that money for them? Well, a New York University, a Jewish professor says the double standard we all see, live, and maybe suffer under, he said it is so evident in these anti-Semitic rallies that are happening across the nation on our campuses. And it's happening even now. And he points out how it's playing out, this double standard, as we listen to again Professor Galloway.
And I do think there is a double standard. I walked by NYU last night. What I saw was peaceful protest. But I can tell you, if I went into the NYU square with a white hood on and said, lynch the blacks or burn the gays, my ID would be shut off by that night. And I would never work in academia again. There would be no need for the words context or nuance. I wouldn't be protected by terms like First Amendment or free speech. I would be out of the world of academia. It seems like we have a double standard when it comes to hate speech, as long as it's against Jews.
And we're not just talking about the exercising of free speech and protest, which we agree people have, and there's spaces on campus for that. It's what they're saying is the harassment of Jewish students. So what is that? Why is there that double standard? Because of course you're right. You don't even have to say it out loud. If these things were being said about black people or gay people or Latinos or Asian or anybody else, forget it. Shut down the school. Everybody's expelled.
That questioning, by the way, and the agreement with the Professor Galloway from New York University, Scott Galloway, a Jewish professor, was being raised while he's on CNN, and they're raising the question with him, admitting basically there is a double standard, and they have an additional question.
Why is there still that double standard?
I think it's complicated. I think, one, young people have a healthy gag reflex on what people our age think, and I think that's healthy. Two, I don't think Israel has draped itself in glory over the last 20 or 30 years. They've shifted from being kind of a David to the Goliath. I also think that incorrectly students on campus conflate the civil rights movement with what is going on in Palestine and have digressed, unfortunately, because of an orthodoxy promoted by me and my colleagues that there are oppressors and oppressed, and the easiest way to identify oppressors is how white and how rich they are, or fairly or unfairly, Israel is seen as ground zero for whiteness and how wealthy they are. And then what might sound paranoid doesn't mean I'm wrong. I think we are being manipulated, specifically youth, through their frame for the world is TikTok. And if you look at TikTok, there are 52 videos that are pro-Hamas or pro-Palestinian for every one served on Israel. I think that we are being manipulated. I think Americans are easier fooled and convinced they've been fooled. But if I were the CCP, I'd be doing exactly the same thing.
Absolutely. And if I were the CCP, I'd be using the open border to get as many Chinese military-age men inside the USA as I can. Because they know if Trump is elected, that will shut down. So they're going to be a rush on. And it's accelerating. And double standards. Let's talk about that in the sports level for a moment. As you know, the NCAA has changed its rules governing image, likeness, and so forth, and compensation for college players, which allows these amateurs to earn money from their efforts in college sports, which I've always thought they should. I mean, the college is making a lot of money off of them. But flash back to 2005, Reggie Bush won the Heisman Trophy. 5 years later, it got revoked because it was revealed as a student he got, at that time, improper benefits from marketing agents. And now the introduction of the NIL rule, the name, image, likeness compensation, the Heisman Trust deciding to give Reggie Bush his trophy back. Good. Never should have been taken away. And students, if they're going to be participating for your college and making you money, putting fans in the seats, they should be getting something in return. They were not even allowed to take money to fly home to see their parents on a break. That's how tough that was. And to that point, let's go ahead and bring up Pete Rose. You want to argue about Pete Rose being in the Hall of Fame? I am in favor of him being in the Hall of Fame for what he earned. He apparently never one time has been proven to bet against his team while playing another team, but he was placing bets on games. You don't like it? Okay. Put an asterisk beside his name, and below that, with the asterisk, the explanation why the asterisk is there. Good God, this I'm calling for wokeness among this kind of stuff. Oh my God, what am I drinking today? As always, I thank you for listening. Rob Carter coming up next. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.